In the holy name of Jesus. Starting off a new sermon series, guys. We ended with the Lord's Prayer last week, and now we're kicking off a three-week series leading up to Reformation Day on stewardship. And we're going to focus specifically this first day on a subsection of stewardship called stewardship of self. If you're anything like me, you're wondering what that might be. Because when Pastor Cale first assigned me this topic, I didn't really have any idea. And I think it's because I didn't really know what stewardship in and of itself was. When we hear about stewardship, we often think, I didn't realize the vicar was going to be preaching about that today. Guess I'm going to have to get out my wallet. But that's really not all there is to it. Stewardship isn't just about giving your money, right? What is a steward? A steward is someone who is left in charge, right? A steward is someone who has a job. A steward is someone who has a responsibility while the master is away. He's supposed to do stuff with his master's stuff while his master is not there. That kind of makes sense for us, right? I mean, everything belongs to God. He is our master. We're the steward of his things. Stewardship of self then also takes into account that the God who owns everything owns you as well. So you actually have a duty to him to take care of yourself. So I guess the question we have to ask, the question that Jesus asks us today is, are you being a good steward of yourself while you wait for him to return? He tells us in this parable that it really all comes down to wisdom or folly. And the way that you can tell if you are wise or foolish or not is based on how you interact with his words. Stewardship of self, guys, it kind of makes sense that it comes first in this series. From the self flows out, right? If you can get this part, then of course, stewarding the rest of God's creation makes a whole lot of sense. It's also central because Jesus says it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of salvation on the final judgment. He tells this parable, right? The person who hears my word and does it is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The person who hears my word and doesn't do it is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came, the floods came, the storm came, the winds blew. And one house fell, and one house stood. Don't worry, guys. It's okay. It's okay. They'll figure it out. One house stood, one house fell. Right? And I think that we can often think of what are the storms? What are the rains? What are the floods that are coming? Right? We often think maybe that's the storms and the trials of this life, but I think Jesus is pointing to something bigger. Right? Of course, listening to Jesus' words and doing them will help you in your everyday life. No doubt. But Jesus is talking about the final storm here. The last one, the big one, you might say. The final judgment. He says, the one who builds his house on sand will not stand during the final judgment. The other thing about this parable that I think we might not get or understand fully is when Jesus is talking about building your house on a rock. Right? What does that mean? I think the Sunday school answer is like, I trust in Jesus. He forgives me. He's my Lord and Savior. That's my house on the rock. And I think to some extent that's right, but maybe there's a facet of it that Jesus is exploring here. Because he says, not the one who says, Lord, Lord, is the one who builds his house on the rock, but the one who hears my word and does it. The one who hears my word and does it. Many will say, Lord, Lord, on the last day, expecting to enter into the kingdom of God while refusing all their life to do the things that Jesus said. Jesus is going to be like, wait a minute, okay? You want my forgiveness, but you don't want me? You want my death, you want my resurrection, but you want your old life? You don't want my new life that I have to give you? I don't have anything for you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is stewardship of self, guys. It's wisdom or foolishness. It's a difference between hearing Jesus' words and doing Jesus' words. It's the difference maybe even between knowing that Jesus is in fact the Lord of all and having the faith that grasps that and takes that new life. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Are we doing a good job of stewarding ourselves? Well, what does Jesus' word say? Last week, our scripture reading, our gospel reading, came from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And you'll remember that the first thing that Jesus ever said was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hold on to that. That might come in handy as we see some of the other things that Jesus tells us. And our lesson for today, it comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains the law, the commandments of God. He explains them in detail, and he doesn't make them any easier for us to accomplish. In fact, he makes them harder. He says, you shall not murder. And you think, okay, I can do that. I haven't killed anyone yet, so I'm going to be fine with that one. But Jesus says, not so fast. If you're even angry at your brother or sister, this is murder in your heart. That's tough. Jesus says, do not commit adultery. And you say, well, that may be a little harder than murder, but I think that we can handle it. Jesus says, not so fast. If you even lust towards someone, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart. Tough. Jesus says, you heard it was said before me, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, turn your cheek to the one who slaps you. These are just three of the things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. There's more, okay? And it's tough to follow. When we look at ourselves, we realize, wow, we have failed to do this stuff. We have failed miserably. So what does that mean for us? Are we wise or foolish? Are our houses built on sand? Because it sure seems like we're not doing the words of Jesus. It seems like we're hearing it and it's going in one ear and out the other. Well, maybe in some ways we are foolish. So we try to do the smart thing and we look at Jesus' other words, right? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And boy, when we see our sins, do we, right? We as good Lutherans, we as good Christians, we do it every Sunday here in confession and absolution, right? We repent. We throw our sins on Jesus. We say we're sorry. We want to do better. Casting ourselves on the mercy of Jesus. But is it true repentance? Is it? Or is it just, Lord, Lord? When you say, I'm sorry for my sins, Jesus, do you say, I want to do better? Help me do better? Or is it more like, thanks for the forgiveness, Jesus. See you next week. Same time, same place, same sins. Forgiveness, brothers and sisters, and repentance is never, what you did was okay. Don't worry about it. I'll forgive you time and time again. No problem. Keep doing it. Forgiveness and repentance is always, what you did was wrong. You've acknowledged that. What you did is not okay for the future. And I forgive you. I will not hold it against you from here on forward. This is not going to get in the way between us because I choose to forget it. That's what forgiveness and repentance is. Are there sins that you are not truly repentant of? Maybe a sin, maybe a couple sins that you're not ready to let go of. Maybe a sin that you think, it's not that bad. Maybe a secret sin that no one knows about that you're not ready to let go of. What's keeping you from it? What's stopping you from turning around? Is it anger? Murder, you might say? Do you hold a grudge? Are you refusing to forgive a brother or sister in Christ? These sins love to hide out in the dark, guys. where they can consume you from the inside out. Why doesn't anybody seem to know about those sins that we're not repentant of? Why are they so secret? Have you told anybody that you struggle with anger, if you do? Have you told the person you're angry with? Have you told somebody who can help you? A spouse, a parent, a friend, maybe even your pastor, the one you're supposed to go to confess and to forgive? Why haven't you said something? Is it because you're not yet ready to give it up? Is it because you're not yet ready to do the words of Jesus and to repent? If so, then you're a fool. What about adultery? Right? We have probably more than just lustful thought to worry about. Jesus was optimistic there, I think. Affairs, pornography, sex before marriage, any other kind of sexual perversion you can think of, these are all against the words of Jesus. And it almost feels wrong to be speaking about it up here like I'm dirty for just saying these things in church, but I think that's because that's what the devil wants it to be. The devil wants me not to talk about these things because sin likes to hide out in the dark. Sin likes you to think that it's not that big of a deal. Sin wants you to think that it and Jesus can coexist, but they can't. Do you struggle with sexual sins? Does anybody know about it? Why is it such a secret? Why haven't you told anybody who can help you? A parent, a spouse, a friend, maybe even your pastor? Is it because you're not ready to give it up yet? Is it because you're not ready to repent, to do the words of Jesus? Then you are a fool. But vicar, you might say, the shame, the pain of it all, the sins that I might hold in could hurt other people if they found out. They could hurt me if they found out. If you want to talk about the pain, if you want to talk about the shame of it all, then I can point you no further than the cross of Christ. The place where the pain and the shame was all poured out onto one man, the condemnation of God for you. And I wish sometimes that we had a crucifix up there instead of just a cross so that you could see the image of a suffering Jesus, not just two bars crossed. And in the pain of his face, maybe you would see the mercy in his eyes. Do you think that Jesus didn't know that you would be a lousy steward of yourself? Do you think he didn't know that you would fail? Of course he did, and he went anyways. He went anyways so that when you failed at being a steward, everything that you have been given doesn't get taken away from you immediately, but so that there can be forgiveness with him and that he can extend his hand back to you when you fail and say, yeah, you messed up. Will you be my steward again? Will you turn away? Will you repent? And time after time, he does this for you. Jesus is more than willing, more than able to forgive you all of your sins. And the cool part about forgiveness is that it actually empowers you to live a new life of stewardship, a new life of being a good steward, right? Sin likes to hide out in the dark because there sin kills you. There it stays secret, there it festers. But when sin is brought to light in repentance, when you admit that you're wrong and you want to stop, you bring it out. You set it before God, and what does he do? He kills the sin and not the sinner. That's what he does for you. So you might be wondering, does this mean that when I confess my sins, that I'll never commit that sin again? No. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But forgiveness is always, I'm sorry. I want to do better. Lord, will you make me better? Will you give me another chance? Forgiveness is never, what I did was okay and I'm not sorry. There's not forgiveness for that. So I guess the question is, are you wise or are you foolish? Will you hold on to your old life at expense of the new? May God grant you the grace and the faith to make the wise call, I guess you could say, to repent. Amen.